If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
So the UN Security Council has called for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza, and that's after the US did not veto the measures in a shift from its previous position. You've seen that many, many other times those members in the Security Council have tried to bring this forward, and the US has usually sided with Israel, obviously vetoing that. And so we now have, for the very first time since October, that the US now has decided to not vote. This meaning that there is a ceasefire that the Security Council has now called for. Of course, there's also a call for a return of hostages. But we'll explain all of that in a short while with Professor Cathy Powell, who's Associate Professor in Public Law at the University of Cape Town. Thank you very much for making time for us, Professor Powell. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you, Pranella. Good evening.
So it's a bit tricky because as people were watching this, and it seemed like a good moment for a very short while, the US then very quickly came out and saying, well, actually, it's not really binding. What does that mean?
It means that the US is making the most of a legal technicality, which is important, but not to such a degree that states have no obligation to cooperate with the Security Council. Mm. The Security Council is the primary body of the UN for addressing problems of peace and security. And in recent years, it's also taken on the job of trying to protect human rights. Mm. And it has authorized military action on the basis of protecting human rights. Mm. Now, the Security Council doesn't always need to use force, and it doesn't always order states to act. If it is going to order states to do something, it uses the word decide itself. It says the Security Council decides something. Mm-hmm. And once it uses that magic word, states are obliged under the UN Charter to obey. That's because in Article 25 of the Charter, member states say they will abide by the decisions of the Security Council. Now, that magic word decides is missing from the Security Council resolution that was issued yesterday.
Okay.
But the fact that that word is not there, the fact that we don't have a mandatory UN Security Council resolution, doesn't mean states have no obligation to cooperate with the Security Council as it suggests what has to happen next. And then you also look at the intensity of the wording that the Security Council has used, and it becomes quite clear states can't actually simply say, oh, well, we don't care what they think, because under the UN Charter, they've given the Security Council the job of making calls on international peace and security. So from one perspective, the US is right that it's not binding because it's not a compulsory order.
Mm-hmm.
But it, on the other hand, they're wrong because it is legally valid, and it sets out a demand that states have to engage with and give a reason for not complying with.
You know, one can't help but see this for what it is, really, politicking within the Security Council, because it was the US itself on Thursday that had tabled its own draft and others did not support the draft, and we were back at square one, and now they didn't want to then support this particular draft because, you know, they're saying obviously that it didn't condemn Hamas. But one gets a feeling that actually the principle itself doesn't seem to really matter with these council members. It's really just, you know, a bit of chess playing games here between them that leads us to not really have much faith in this particular Security Council or the UN.
Look, the fact that any action on Gaza has been stymied for 4 months by these kinds of games, by the US saying, no, we're not going to support the resolution because it doesn't condemn Hamas. And then, China and Russia were saying that the resolution that the US produced was so vague and watered down that it would give Israel more room to maneuver. Mm. And that's why they said they vetoed that. All of this has shown us that the Security Council desperately needs to be reformed. And there's been no doubt about that for a very long time. Unfortunately, the Security Council is is structured, and its voting system is structured that the permanent five can veto reform proposals. One of which would be to remove their veto power. That's one of the likely reforms. So we're stuck with them at the moment. But what they do end up being is a kind of thermometer for where important major players are standing on major issues. And they do on occasions actually authorize force, and some measures are carried out which can help, which can help human rights, and it can help in conflict. So it's frustrating to see how much politics is involved. But when the UN Charter was drawn up in the wake of World War II, that was basically the only option that they had, which was to give the states that were going to provide the most military backup to what the UN wanted to be able to do a little bit of extra influence in where that military force was going to be employed.
Well, we now know Israel is not interested. They don't want to abide by this. They're going to obviously ignore it. So what can the UN and the Security Council actually do in enforcing this?
Well, at the moment, it can't enforce anything because it doesn't have an order. But it could issue an order. So at the moment, it's made not just a suggestion, but a very strong suggestion, because it's used the word demand. If that gets completely ignored, there are degrees of intensity that can follow. One is it can now issue a similarly worded a resolution, but this time it can say it decides that Israel and Hamas have to implement a ceasefire. Having said that, of course, there will still be no change on the ground, or very little change on the ground, although Israel is likely to start moderating its conduct as it feels it is with its allies. But once it comes up with an order, then it can start taking enforcement measures. When the order gets ignored, it can then come up with some non-forcible measures, such as an arms embargo or sanctions on states that support Israel or give military support to Israel. Even smart sanctions, which it's used before against terrorism, where it identifies specific people that are assisting in the Israeli attack. And then finally, of course, in theory, the Security Council could authorize the use of force. The problem is the council doesn't have its own police force. So when it does authorize force, it needs volunteer states to step up to do something. And that's one matter when the states are just going to be doing peacekeeping. So you've got a volatile situation, but no active war. But in a situation where you're actually stepping into active armed conflict, it's going to be difficult to get your armed forces together to actually carry out a military operation, particularly as the US is unlikely to play along.
I just want to murky the waters a bit exactly on that point, because if it turns out that, yes, another, there is a much stronger worded, they use the word decide, and it is ordered, and there needs to be more force, and the US continues to abstain, in other words, support, in a sense, Israel, and you will have then peacekeepers being brought in, while Israel is supported militarily by the US, it could complicate things quite so.
Well, that was why I said we can't talk peacekeeping in this situation. Yeah. You can't keep the peace if there's no peace to keep. So what you need for Gaza is what they call peace enforcement. And that's, in effect, the UN sending a military force to stop the fighting. And that's different. So that is unlikely for the reason that you've given, which is that the U.S. is unlikely to play ball. Be careful, though. The fact that the U.S. abstained, you're seeing that as support for Israel. It's actually a significant step back in the U.S.'s support for Israel, because so far it has vetoed measures that call for a ceasefire. But except for its own very vaguely worded one on Thursday, which connected the ceasefire to all sorts of things that Hamas had to do. So, so far, the U.S. has supported Israel by stopping the Security Council from issuing any almost any resolution. So the fact that it abstained and it let the other 14 members, remember, apart from the US, this was unanimous. It let the other 14 members of the Security Council pass this resolution demanding a ceasefire, means that Israel can see it has lost support from the US. Maybe not to the extent that the US will stop supplying it with weapons. That the US will get involved.
Yeah.
But it's lost the kind of support it used to have from an important ally.
Sure. All right. I really appreciate you giving time. I mean, and as I said, you know, what complicates these things is that it's words, yes, and it's also action. And sometimes very difficult to assess where everything is because, you know, as much as they've abstained, they also went on to say, we continue to support Israel. Of course, Netanyahu is not happy with them at all. So quite a lot to analyze there with how they say what they say and act as well, because the support for their military weapons still continues. They still support Israel in that way. So, quite a tense situation.
I think there is a lot going on behind the scenes that we can only guess at. But we know that the U.S. has been trying to, because it's now started saying it expressly, it's been trying to get Israel to tone down its military onslaught on Gaza. And it hasn't been getting Israel's cooperation on this. And now, for the first time, it has failed to protect Israel against a resolution at the UN Security Council.
Appreciate it. And
that must give us some idea of what's going on behind the scenes.
Cathy Powell, thank you very much for your time. Associate Professor in Public Law at the University of Cape Town.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.